in Minnesota 50 years ago, you would notice in comparison to the first photo that the house had grown larger, probably almost double in size in a 50-year span. Though the family who lived in that house had grown smaller. And yes, we'll have to admit that that 50-year-old photo, compared to the average house not being lived in but being built today, the house has again doubled in size, and the family living in it has again grown smaller yet. Isn't that what a house is for, to house a family? How is it that the house continues to expand while the family is getting smaller? It's not just housing, though. This represents our cultural fixation with size. Today, small seems to mean not good enough, inadequate, something is lacking. Your house, your garage, your salary, your bank account, everything is judged this way and given value by its size. And churches are judged that way too, aren't they? Does that seem a little out of sorts? You drive by a church, and by the size of it, you make a judgment in your mind. And if you drive by on Sunday or a time when they're meeting, and the parking lot is full, you think, that must be a great church. Look how large it is. Last week, as our friend David was here ministering to us, we heard about church, one that challenges our thinking in quite a bit, doesn't it? All churches there are house churches, because that's what the law allows. Amazing stories. The founding of churches in the country that he was, where he's living and talking to us about, are amazing God stories, amazing in God's eyes. But to us humanly, we have to admit, that just seems very small and insignificant. Let's imagine if Jesus were judged by the criteria that we use to judge today. Though here, over 33 years, only 3 years of his time, he chose to be in public ministry. That already seems to us pretty short and small. Why just that? And he discipled only a small group, 12 men. And when he had finished, here's what one of those men, Matthew, wrote about it. This passage is called the Great Commission to us, the end of Matthew. And we overlook a few words in this passage. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him. But some doubted. Not one. He used a plural word there. Apparently he was chagrined to give the number. Not sure if they'd counted. These are to be men of faith, weren't they? And after all this time, he records that some doubted. Acts, I hope you know, follows the Gospels, and we read this tally of the number. Of course, there were followers that weren't part of this group of 12. Acts 1, verse 15. In those days, Peter stood up among the brothers. The company of persons was in all about 120. So Jesus discipled leaders, only a dozen of them, and other followers. This is the incarnate Son of God. Do you want a better minister than that? And in the time he's chosen for his public ministry, he has 120 followers. So we have to own this, that in our culture, we would judge him as not having had that effective of a ministry. How horrible a thought is that? Small seems to be inadequate, doesn't it? There's a lot of pain in the average life, but few things are probably as painful as this. It's not a physical pain I'm going to talk about, but an emotional one. To be considered inadequate. You've felt this, you've heard these words. You're not quite good enough. You weren't quite fast enough. You aren't dedicated enough. Others did better than you. You came up just a little bit short. We almost hired you. And the spiritual life is no different, is it? The 12, how do they feel? We already know they feel inadequate because they come to Jesus. They want to know. This is becoming routine. We see you do this all the time. Why couldn't we do this? Can you imagine the feeling of hearing Jesus say, because of your little faith? Fortunately, he doesn't say you have no faith. He acknowledges their faith, but he says, it's this faith right here. Now, we say those things to people. You're remembering the pain that you felt when it was said, or not said but implied, but we say that too. But we tend to criticize. We leave it at that. We don't offer a remedy, but Jesus does. So imagine this feeling as he says, following that statement, I say to you, if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, you'll say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Woo, how do you get from point A to B? They want to know this. You couldn't do this thing because of your little faith. And now he gives a proposal, nothing will be impossible for you. Isn't that where you want to live? I'd like that. I'm not thinking a lifetime. I'd like that for a day. Wow, would I pack that day full? So we want to know that. Faith. How are you going to know? We measure a lot of things, don't we? Distance, that's easy to measure. Time, that's easy to measure. Production, output, we can measure that. But faith. Not only difficult to measure, it's difficult to observe, is it not? So if someone walks into our church today and I ask myself, is that a Christian? No way to say that. But sadly, we often say, he doesn't look like a Christian. Really? Is there a look for that? Do they look like they have faith? You cannot see assurance and certainty, can you? A mountain, you can see that. That's the image we've chosen for this series on faith. This is message two. We started a month ago on Communion Sunday, but missions conference happened. We celebrated for a few weeks. There's the real mountain, and then there's a reflection in the water. One is nothing but a reflection. The other is very real. So you got to ask yourself, is that hyperbole? Is that what Jesus meant? That if you have faith, you can look at this mountain and say, sorry, you're in the way of my picture. Can you just move over there for a minute? And it's going to happen. So that's almost 2,000 years since he said that. Have you heard of somebody doing that? Okay, here, don't raise your hand for this because you might be embarrassed. Have you actually prayed that just to test, just to try it? Okay, God, I'm going to pray silently. I hope nobody's watching. I just want to know if this works. Because don't we want to know that about the Word of God? Is this just a religious book somebody left? Or does this function? Well, perhaps not hyperbole, but was Jesus saying, if for the purposes of the kingdom of God this is necessary, not just for your own entertainment. But still, we haven't heard of that, have we? How big does that faith need to be? The size of a mustard seed, he said. And so we go back to the parable that he had ministered earlier. The kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed. How big is that? Did you notice I brought mustard seed with me today? Did you notice it's up here on the table? It's not that easy to perceive, is it? There's actually half a dozen of them. Now can you see them? So Jesus wasn't saying to the 12, if you have faith this small, he was saying, yours needs to grow to get this big. That's a little embarrassing, isn't it? A little bit. I had to warn people that get obsessive about cleaning not to wipe this off if they walked by the communion table this morning. That big, that's what I need right there. So should encourage us, shouldn't it? Something that seems so small and insignificant appears to be. But Jesus says that's enough if that represents the size of our faith. It grows into the largest of garden plants. It becomes a tree. The birds can come and perch in its branches. That doesn't excite us too much, does it? But he's not talking about seeds or plants or birds, but faith, believing in God. If I'd ask you today, do you feel like your faith's a little inadequate? I would be shocked if every one of us didn't say quickly, yes. But Jesus is saying here, but God sees it as enough if what? The kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed. Is that all? It's just like a grain of mustard seed, period? No, that a man took and planted in his garden. Didn't just leave it in a jar of mustard seed sitting in the kitchen pantry. This one he took and he did something with it. He chose to believe that just putting it underneath the ground and burying it and watering it would make a difference, that a plant would come up out of that. So something in the faith that we have innate in our lives, in our hearts, that has grown perhaps because of what we believe about God, about Jesus, some of that has to be taken out, and we have to make an action. We have to say, I'm going to do an observable thing. Somebody's going to watch me down on my hands and knees in my garden and taking what seems almost invisible and insignificant and planting it. So that tells us what about faith? It demands patience. Even in our microwave society, we know you don't plant a seed and have a plant in an hour, in a day. You don't harvest seeds in a week. Harvest is going on around us now. We're in the suburbs, but we don't live that far from fields, and combines are already bringing in harvest. But that seed was planted in the month of April, wasn't it? So to believe in God is going to require a bit of patience. We know that these men who Jesus... Perhaps they felt chided when he said, your faith is so little. These men did miracles. Perhaps not that day, a little later. Their faith grew. It did grow. We have to be encouraged by that, don't we? And remember, this is not just to get what we want. I don't just choose to believe in God because that's going to let me do what I want to do. It's pleasing God. We're going to be in Hebrews 11 for a few months here, and you know this verse, verse 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. How rarely we think of faith with that necessity. I need this to happen. I need a new job. I need to talk to the boss. I need a different salary. I need a new house. I need a new car. Faith often has the word new in it, in our beliefs, doesn't it? I need something new and bigger and better. How often do I pray and say, God, does my faith please you? Is it big enough to honor the God who loves me? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Can you imagine the temptation in the minds of these men who are following Jesus and watching him do miracles? And then he says, if you got faith, you can move mountains. Folks, when they lay down that night, their heads have to be spinning. Can you imagine how popular we're going to be? You think Jesus has got big crowds? He hasn't moved a mountain yet. He said, we can do that. Pleasing God. Romans 10, Paul said that faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the Word of God. So biblical faith has to involve one of the most difficult things in our life. Listening, doesn't it? And I hear preachers today talking a lot about faith, but it usually doesn't involve listening. You need to speak a word of faith. You need to proclaim this. You need to affirm. You need to declare your faith to God. But those words are all Tim talking. Paul's saying, to grow in faith, you have to listen, and you got to immerse yourself in this. Because here's where God speaks to us. It's a long journey, faith, to talk about the stories we're going to examine in Hebrews 11. It is going to be a long journey, a joyful one. But these things, these steps on the path have to be clear as we begin. You're going to have to write them down. It's just blanks in the bulletin insert there. God's power is the issue, not the size of my faith. My faith declares that God is big enough. It's not God declaring, okay, Tim's got enough belief, so let's step in and do that. Small has to be enough at first, because that's the size of a mustard seed. The seed has to be planted. Faith is not something I guard in my heart and mind. It must require me at some point to take action. It's just impossible that most of us here today aren't facing something like that this week, this month in our life to think, I have to trust God. I don't think I've got the human capacity. But do I have the faith to believe He can do that? And planting the seed I need to put on that same line means patience. I need to know the Word. This is what strengthens me in my faith. We're going to look at a lot of stories, most from the Old Testament. That's what Hebrews 11 is full of. But our story has to be intertwined in there, doesn't it? And it has to involve the Word of God. And I have to be reminded that the first goal of faith is very clear. It is not to move mountains. It is not to impress people and show off. It is to please God. He is God, and if I've chosen to be follower, I have to say to Him, you are sufficient for me. I do believe. And that pleases Him. And if I have no need, if I don't need a new job or a bigger salary or a bigger house or a new car, if I come to God and say, I'm just going to worship today, I don't need anything. Well, thank God for that, first of all. But I do need faith that day because that's how I please Him. Did these 12 mature in their faith? Well, 11 of them did. Judas, apparently not so much. But we do need to be encouraged that these men to whom Jesus spoke this admonition grew. And we have to know that we can grow. So, a self-exam for your hope work. Am I mature? More mature than I was a year ago? What evidence could I honestly point to in my life? What actions are necessary this week, this moment, that are like planting a seed? How's patience working out for me? Does my prayer seem like waiting, or is it demanding? God, here I come again with this idea. I'm just coming back because you haven't done it yet. Does that sound like my prayer life? Am I adequately immersed in the Word? Where do I ever get to where that seems adequate? And have I examined my motivations? Do I really want to be a man of faith, a woman of faith, to please God? Or is it to impress others? Am I hoping that someone will notice? God deliver us from that motivation. And then there's the happy story of this man who brought his son. When the faith of others is not sufficient, Jesus can step in. Amen? It was the same power. The disciples never had power to heal, did they? They were hoping for the power of Jesus to intersect in this boy's life. And it did, but Jesus himself had to show up. That's a great testimony for this week. If you're thinking to yourself, I got nothing now except for Jesus to show up, that's good news, because you know Jesus, don't you? Amen? Let's talk to the Father about our need for increased faith, shall we? Lord, we know the answer. No, of course no. Our faith is not big enough. But our God is big enough. We, in fact, have never doubted that. Why would we? But somehow our faith needs to grow. It's just so hard to understand. What does that look like? What's it feel like? How do we know? What's the measurement? And we're just crying out in simplicity today. Let that grow. Extend our faith. Purify our motivations. We want to please you. Realter our priorities and help us to immerse ourselves in the Word that brings us faith. We love you. In the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.